praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. These programs are based on the ministry of Witness Lee and his 21-year-long crowning work, The Life Study of the Bible. We'll include excerpts from his spoken ministry, which focuses on the enjoyment of Christ as the divine life as revealed in the Bible. We hope that through these studies, you'll be brought into a deeper enjoyment of the Scriptures and of our dear and precious Lord Jesus. You can contact us by sending email to radio@lsm.org. or reach us toll-free, 888-LIFE-STUDY. Now, let's join today's program. We have a very helpful program today dealing with a topic that is often debated among believers, and we're glad that you've joined us and hope that you'll stay with us. Francis Ball has joined us once again in the studio today as we look at a message entitled, The Election of Grace. Welcome back, Francis.
Thank you for your invitation and for being with you again.
Francis, this is one of those topics that often comes up among Christians, and there are historically different schools of thought, even theologies, concerning this matter. What is the dispute or the issue at hand for those who may not be familiar with this topic of God's election or selection?
Well, Chris, what Brother Lee touches on in this message is a matter about which theologians have varying doctrinal debates and concepts. That's the matter of God's election, or as you said, or the selection of grace. In my limited knowledge of these debates and doctrinal statements, I believe most theologians have considered this matter too much from the human standpoint. They ask, for example, such questions as, God choose some to be saved and others to be lost? Or they may ask, is God's selection for salvation dependent on his foreknowledge of man's conduct, whether it's good or bad? Also, some ask, does God predestinate or elect the ones that he knows will believe in Christ, or do they believe in Christ because they were predestinated or elected? All these theological questions are, to me, speculations. What we do need to see are all the wonderful items of God's complete salvation and also the setting of the whole Bible and what the whole divine economy is about. If we don't have this view, it's very difficult to determine whether you take the Calvinistic view, where it's altogether on God's sovereign side, or whether you take the Arminian view, where it's depending on human responsibility. There are other schools of thought also as you go through history. But the thing that's missing is the fact that God's intention and purpose is to work himself into his elect, his chosen ones. And this is all not according to man's natural concept. I believe we will see in this message how different God's selection and God's election is from human elections. And we'll realize that this is not just a matter of theological debates, but it's for our deep appreciation for God's marvelous mercy.
Francis, thank you for your comments. And of course, our purpose here is not to further the debate, but that we would all be opened up to God speaking, that we could all be impressed with something that surely is part of his economy.
Yes, we need to believe what God says and not question everything to the point that we end up uncertain about anything.
And now, here's Witness Lee.
If we are going to know the gospel of the Son of God in a thorough way, we have to see that in this gospel, there's one thing so marvelous, so wonderful, that is God's election.
Amen.
God's election. And this election is called the election of grace.
Amen.
You have this term in chapter 11. Well, what is election? Before we were born, we have been elected already.
Amen.
So you see, the human election is according to what you are. If you are good, if you are successful, if you are satisfying others, okay, then others would select you. But God's election is different. You see, God's election doesn't depend upon what you are. It just depends upon what He likes. Even before you were born, He elected you. And this is the divine election. Well, you may ask me, what do you mean by saying this? Since we were born, I don't know from where this came, we did have a kind of concept. We have to do something. We have to do something good. We have to struggle for something. And this kind of concept was within us all the time. We failed again and again. Yet within us, we still had this concept to struggle. You like to be just a kind of supplanting deacon. God predestinated you to be the second, but you have been struggling to be the first. And praise God that you have never succeeded.
Amen.
There was the restraining hand of mercy there that restrained you. Not only we were not born, even the universe were not made. Even the whole universe, heavens and earth, didn't come into being. God elected you. Could you believe this? Could you believe this? I don't care whether you could or not, you have to. You have to, because it is written.
Amen.
So we believe.
Amen.
We have the spirit of faith.
Amen.
We believe not in what we think.
Right.
We believe not in what we understand.
Right.
We believe in what God has written.
Amen.
It is written. Before you were born, He selected you already.
Amen.
He elected you already. And He predestinated your life.
Amen.
And I tell you, He has appointed everything for you. He has appointed the date for your birth. He has appointed the place for you to be born. And He has appointed all the days and all the place you have to be. This one day was not fixed by you. You were born in an age. It is so easy to hear the gospel. Then you got the germs of the gospel. But eventually, you got caught. Just like in January, I didn't like the flu, but I got it. And it got me, I would say. It caught me. It is not of me. It is of Him.
Amen.
It is not of me that will. It is not of me that ran. But it is of Him that shows mercy.
Amen.
All the things happen to us, all together, absolutely, it is a matter of mercy. It's not of you. It's of Him. God elected you.
Amen.
You know, the covenantism says there's no human responsibility. Then the Arminianism says, well, it all depends upon human responsibility.
Right.
But tonight, I don't care for Covenantism nor Arminianism. I just care for God's election.
Amen.
Francis, most of us get quite uncomfortable when we're in a situation over which we have absolutely no control. And this very much is one of those. Our election by God is absolutely of Him, well beyond our ability to control, isn't it?
Yes, that's certainly wonderfully true, and we should be very thankful that that's the case. If we were left in control, every one of us would have a different plan. But we have to remember, Chris, that God is God, and He has an eternal purpose. The choice of how He works it out is in His sovereign will and by His loving mercy. So His election and predestination of us is absolutely not according to other matters, but according to Himself, according to what He desires, according to what He wants. We are involved, but all the efforts, all of our efforts, even our struggles like Jacob, and all the things we may work out to try to accomplish what we think should be accomplished, all these are really in vain. God chooses whom He will. We may have our goals and our expectations, and we may struggle to try to get God's blessing on our efforts, but ultimately, we have to see that we are objects of God's selection, God's choice, and that He is working out everything. God's plan is not under our control. Of course, we shouldn't just be passive and indifferent, but we should learn to say amen to the Lord's arrangements in His election. His predestination and His calling all have to do with God's eternal purpose, and He is the one who is in control. And when we respond to His way, we are blessed, we are happy, we are kept in a joyful situation.
Francis, I would just add a word of my own experience. I think if we really see this and lay hold of it, rather than it bringing us into a condition of apathy or neutrality, quite the contrary, it will bring us into a deep appreciation, even a worship of the Lord for His mercy, His love, and His grace.
That's certainly true, and I think most of us can really testify the same.
Let's go back to Witness Lee.
How do you know that you are being elected? And how could I know that I have been elected? Because there is a kind of believing, a kind of a living faith within us which we could never get rid of. We have a lot of suffering. But I tell you, with these men of God's election, you can never give up. Once you got involved, I tell you, you could never get yourself out of it.
Amen.
We are predestined. It is not of you, nor of me. Predestination is mentioned in this book. It is mentioned clearly in chapter 8. Consider about this matter. God's calling, predestination, and election. Which one is the first? And which one is the second? And which one is the third? I tell you, election is the first. When you go to the department store, first of all, you select. You elect. Elect means select. You just select some pieces. Then after your selection, or after your election, you put some mark on it. That is predestination. God firstly selected us. Then God put a mark upon us. That means God predestinated us. You see, election is the very, very start. Very start. By election. God started with you by electing you. Now, after He has elected you, then He predestinated you. He put a mark upon you. Then, eventually, He came in to call you. So you see, you have the election, then you have the predestination, then you have the calling of God. If we are going to serve God as a church in the proper way, we have to know the gospel, including this matter. This is a part of the gospel.
Amen.
Not of you, nor of me, but of Him.
Amen.
That shows mercy.
Amen.
All altogether. It is a man of mercy.
Amen.
Well, Francis, this is a very good test for us to know if, in fact, we have been elected by God. Many of us have had this experience of trying even to give up being a Christian, trying to leave and forget about God. But it seems that the more we try, the more we could never get away. I guess we just have to conclude that we are elected.
Yes, Chris, at times we do try to give up being a Christian. Our struggling and trying doesn't seem to bring the results we hope for and even prayed for. So sometimes we just feel like it's not worthwhile. We just are not the right ones. God made a bum choice or some kind of a feeling like that, and we try to give up being a Christian. We struggle thinking that that's what God wants, or we have our own goals and our own plans. And even in seeking to live the Christian life, we're really self-centered. And when we get discouraged, get disappointed, or we begin to feel so unworthy that we can't make it, we feel like, I can't go on. I can't be a Christian. When it doesn't work out, it may be that we decide to give up this whole matter, and we find out that while apparently we're free to give up and leave, there's something in us that will not give up. You try, but the more you try, the more you can't get away. Some time ago, my wife and I were talking to a Christian young man who's a good father and a caring father. He had declared to us when we talked to him that he realized what it means to be a Christian, but he just decided to live his own life. In other words, it isn't worthwhile to spend my time for the Lord's interest when I could be using all this time and energy to gain something for my immediate future, get out of debt, get the kids educated, and so on. Shortly after that time, though, when he decided that he would just live his own life, he had an accident that laid him up for months. So during this time, though questions lurk in his mind about why did this happen to me, he cannot cease believing and recognizing that he is one of God's elect. Faith will not disappear just because you decide you're not going to go this way, because we have something wrought into us by God's choice that we can never be free from and never let go of.
Francis, thank you for that testimony concerning this young person. I think that we all know or have had that same experience ourselves. Let's go back to Witness Lee for the conclusion of our life study on God's election.
My conviction deeply within me now, I tell you, is much, much stronger than it was within me 30 years ago. When I was a young man, I realized that it is altogether a mercy. But by that time, my realization was not so strong as it is today. Oh, today, I tell you. After so many years, and after so many things happened, and after seeing so many, I tell you, I am strongly and deeply convinced that it is absolutely a matter of him.
Amen.
A matter of mercy. Let us bow down.
Amen.
And praise.
Amen.
Keep our trust away from ourselves.
Amen.
Don't think we are these, we are that. No, no, forget about these. It is not of him that wills, nor of him that runs, but of him that shows mercy.
Amen.
We could be born, we could be brought up, we could be made a Christian. I tell you, all a mercy. And we could go on with the Lord by taking up this way. All a mercy.
Amen.
All a mercy.
Amen.
Even so much willing, so very willing, to be separated from today's age.
Amen.
It's a mercy.
Amen.
It's a mercy.
Amen.
There is a kind of divine insulation.
Amen.
Insulation within us. that keeps us away from the world system. A kind of insulation. Who put in this kind of insulation? Mercy. It's all in mercy. We have to know the Spirit. We have to know the life in the Spirit. We have to know also the righteousness of God. Now, even the more, we have to know what? The mercy in God's election. Oh, this is the election of grace. I could testify by standing here. Today, I could stand here. All together is in mercy. Maybe my word cannot express what I feel within, but I do look to the Lord that He will speak something to you far, far beyond what I'm speaking here. You have to realize, brothers and sisters, it is altogether mercy.
Amen.
Don't think that you can do this, you can do that. You have to do this, you have to do that. Forget about this. All the time you have to bow down long. It is of you that you have mercy. All together, a mercy. I tell you, the more you worship the Lord's mercy, the more you will be uplifted. I tell you, brothers, I can testify, the more we bow down and worship His mercy, the more we are deeply in His heart. We are deeply in His heart. We are just one. We are just one. There's no need for us to bear the responsibility. He will bear us to bear the responsibility. Not we bear the responsibility, but He bears us to bear the responsibility. We are changeable, fluctuating all the time. Just like Los Angeles weather. Don't trust in yourself. You may have a winter time after 3 days. And maybe now you are in the summer. And after 3 days, you may have winter time. But keep in mind that the change are just on the surface of the earth.
Amen.
It is not there. There, it's always the same.
Amen.
There, no winter, no summer.
Amen.
No night, no day.
Amen.
All the time the same.
Amen.
See clearly. It is all together a matter of mercy,
Amen.
Not of you that will. I tell you, your waiting doesn't work. Your running doesn't work. But He's shooing forward the mercy. Really works. Really works. We are of Him that shows forth the mercy.
Francis, this was really quite a word today. We try so many things to secure our standing with God, don't we? But our election is altogether a matter of God and His mercy. Francis, this is not so much a word to help us with a correct understanding of the doctrine of election, but to me, this word is very much for our deep appreciation and worship of a wonderful, loving, and merciful God.
It certainly is, and I'm freshly impressed concerning the fact that, just as Apostle Paul said in Romans, "So then it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy." I just say, Chris, hallelujah for His mercy. He'll not let me go. The more we praise Him for His mercy, the more He bears us up, the more He bears the responsibility, the more He makes us happy. So I would say the best thing to do is enjoy His sure mercies. I'm thankful that today we haven't been trying to figure out what's the correct doctrine concerning election, but we can read God's Word that we are elected from eternity past, and as elected ones, we are predestinated. and as those who are predestinated, we are called. We are elected and predestinated in eternity past, and we're called in time. God worked everything out regarding every one of us according to His choice, according to His purpose, and according to His eternal goal. So I like to say, praise Him. And as the hymn says, 'tis mercy all immense and free, for, oh my God, it found out me.
I'd like to echo your amen today, Francis. I appreciate very much your being here. And I, too, I'm glad we didn't enter into just another theological tug of war as to which interpretation. But together, and I hope we include our listeners in this, we've been brought in to an enjoyment of our election. Our life study of Romans continues. We'll be back with another message. I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you for listening. Are you enjoying this program online or on a smartphone right now? Did you know there's much more from Living Stream Ministry that you can carry with you? Go to lsm.org/epublications to discover all that we have available for your tablet, e-reader, or smartphone. We support Kindle, Nook, iSilo, and EPUB formats, which means you can read this ministry on any PC, Mac, Android, Palm, BlackBerry, Sony, or Linux device. Everything from the recovery version of the Bible to the complete life study messages and a vast array of other titles by Witness Lee and Watchman Nee are now just a touch away. The Word of God is rich and weighty, but now you can take it with you wherever you go. Again, the website, lsm.org/epublications. Thanks for listening today.
Are we at the end of the world?
And when he was questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, 'Behold, here it is,' or 'There,' for behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you." Luke chapter 17, verses 20 and 21. These verses prove that the kingdom of God is the Savior himself. Wherever the Savior is, there the kingdom of God is. He is the seed of the kingdom of God to be sown into God's chosen people, to develop into God's ruling realm. Since his resurrection, he has been within his believers. Hence, the kingdom of God is within the church today. Scripture, Luke 17, verses 21 and 22, and commentary from the New Testament Recovery Version, published by Living Stream Ministry. For more information, visit lsm.org.